Is there anyone there?
Yes, what do you see?
Iceberg right ahead!
Thank you.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you. Iceberg's dead ahead because Antarctica's footprint is looking a little different, as scientists confirmed on Wednesday that the Larsen C ice shelf, which is a block of ice about the size of Delaware, broke off from the landmass of the Antarctic Peninsula. Now, researchers have been monitoring the Larsen C for a long time, and the collapse has scientists concerned about future collapses and the speed with which they could occur. National Geographic has a two-part special report this month on Antarctica, including graphics of the Larsen C ice shelf and its cleaving. Joining me now is Rob Kunzig, Senior Environment Editor for National Geographic. Rob, welcome.
Hi, Todd. Thanks.
This phenomenon we're talking about is called calving, right? The giant crack?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So describe the calving that everyone's been watching, how long it took, and just the scale of it.
Well, scientists had first noticed a crack in the Larsen C ice shelf about a decade ago, or maybe around 2010, and they'd been monitoring it off and on ever since as this crack slowly grew to be over 120 miles long, sort of along the long edge of the shelf. It's not the whole shelf that broke off, but just a piece of the larger shelf. And this year, that crack just started to accelerate. And in the last couple months, there have been sort of daily tweets from a group of British scientists who've been monitoring it with a European satellite. And finally, it had been hanging by a thread for weeks, practically. And finally, this week it went.
We saw reports all along, I remember seeing, of the crack expanding. If you were near it, would it have been the kind of thing at the end that you could see with the naked eye? Was it going fast enough?
I think there were days when it advanced, you know, a number of yards overnight. So I suppose if you've been standing right there, you could have seen it happen. I mean, this is a big thing at the old end where it's been sort of like tearing away. It's like you're ripping a piece of paper off. And at the wide end, the crack was already wide enough to drop the Empire State Building into. So you can definitely see this thing. You can see it from space.
So this is, of course, as we said, and you've made the point, a gigantic chunk of ice. And the question that immediately comes to mind, Rob, is, well, what happens when it melts? Will this cause sea levels to rise if this is a chunk of ice the size of Delaware?
This ice chunk will not cause sea level to rise because it's already floating. So it's like an ice cube in a glass when you're having a cocktail. If the cube melts in your glass doesn't overflow. But the big picture here is that there are ice shelves like this that fringe Antarctica all around. And that overall, they are melting much faster than they were a couple of decades ago. There are all these floating shelves of ice that themselves won't raise sea level, but what they really are is the floating ends of glaciers that sit on ground, massive glaciers. And these shelves are holding back the glaciers. So as the shelves go, the great fear is that the glaciers will start to flow much faster into the sea. And we are, in fact, observing that. And so what's been happening over the past few years is that scientists have been revising their estimates of sea level rise upward, and as in part because of what they're finding in Antarctica, so that they're now talking about 6 feet of sea level rise in 2100.
Essentially because as these calvings happen, there's less buffer between the glaciers themselves.
Yeah,
the ocean.
They're like corks in a bottle or dams. It's the glaciers are giant rivers of ice flowing towards the sea. That's a natural thing. But if you remove the thing that's slowing them down, they flow faster, and the balance gets out of whack, and you get a lot more ice falling into the sea, and that ice does raise sea level.
Still, there has been some debate. These calvings do happen naturally. This is not the first, of course. And there's been some debate about how much of an impact climate change is having on the calvings themselves. You've mentioned it is a harbinger of things to come because of the ice behind it. But do we know or have a sense that calvings like the Larsen C are accelerating or more common because of higher temperatures?
Absolutely we do. Now, you can't say it's sort of like does climate change cause a particular storm, a particular drought? You can never say that. Climate change stacks the deck. It loads the dice. And so you can't say that climate change caused this Delaware-sized piece of ice to break off the Larsen C ice shelf. But you can say that climate change already led to the collapse of other ice shelves on the Antarctic Peninsula, and that it is already leading to a thinning and a crumbling of ice shelves around Antarctica, which is leading to an acceleration of ice flow into the sea. You can absolutely say that.
So Larsen C, as you mentioned, was already floating on the ice even when it was attached to the rest of the ice on the continent.
Floating on the sea, yes.
It's floating
The Larsen C ice shelf is the floating terminus of a glacier on land.
So talk about the ecosystem that lives underneath the ice even when it's attached, and what happens now that it's floating out to sea.
Well, you know, these ice shelves are pretty thick. The Larsen C is more than half a mile thick at its thickest, and even at the thin edge that broke off, it's about 600 feet thick. And so there hasn't actually been a whole lot of exploration under these thickest ice shelves. But just in the same issue, we've got an amazing article by a French photographer who has dove under thinner sea ice in East Antarctica, dove to 230 feet deep and took some amazing pictures documenting the life there. And it's this exotic fauna of invertebrates, things called sea squirts, which are coral relatives, giant sea spiders, look like spiders. Of course, they're not really spiders. And then there's Weddell seals, fish that have antifreeze in their blood. It's quite an amazing ecosystem that we've only just begun to explore.
Rob Kunzig, a couple of months ago, we visited Montana on a reporting project. We've been talking about it a lot on this show. We visited Glacier National Park, where the scientists there were unambiguous that the glaciers there are disappearing and not coming back. That's ice in the northern United States. This is ice at the end of the southern hemisphere. Put it in context to what the ice is telling us about climate change.
Ice is probably the most visible, tangible evidence that the planet really is warming. And, you know, we're heading towards a planet that is, in some places, is going to be glacier is going to lose its glaciers entirely. Then the Arctic ice cap, the floating sea ice in the Arctic, is very likely going to vanish in this century. The glaciers of the Alps are dwindling fast. So this is a planet-wide phenomenon, and it has a planet-wide cause. It's global warming.
Rob Kunzig, Senior Environment Editor for National Geographic. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Well, one possible and surprising, maybe silver lining of cracking ice is music. And it's music that a lot of environmentalists hope will bring some necessary attention to global warming. You're listening to it now. The Climate Change Division of the United Nations started a project to bring maybe an emotional resonance of a kind to the melting icebergs. Listen. Arctic scientists recorded the sound of the ice melting, and musicians from around the world used these sounds in some original tracks. Check this one out. And here's one more. Of the undeniable evidence of climate change, a harbinger of a warming planet, and maybe some pleasant music to remind people on their phones and their stereos that it's happening. You can hear more from that collection of iceberg songs by visiting our website at thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick, sitting in for John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
PRI, Public Radio International.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.